Okay, well, Father, we just thank you for another evening or day or morning of fellowship with everybody. Father, we just praise you for all that you're going to accomplish through us tonight, today. And Lord, we just want to follow your lead, Lord, and let you lead us into whatever it is that you want us to discuss and talk about or whatever. I know we have a subject matter, and if you want to change it, you're welcome to do that. Because we want to follow you, Lord. We want you to be the guide here. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with your word. And Father, we just thank you for this wonderful time together tonight. And let it be a blessing to you and to us, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. We just praise you, Father, for all the things that you do for us, the promises you've given us, the statements of fact in the Word of God that tells us lots of things that we just take for granted. But Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you for what is going to happen tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Tracy. Good to see you tonight, girl. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, Debbie's on the phone right now. But anyway, our grandson Jonah has been really, really misbehaving at school and not wanting to cooperate and just wants to go off and lay on the floor and that kind of stuff. And I don't know if it's just the phase he's going through. He's a first grader, I think. And but anyway, so we just want to lift him up to you, that just believing that God's going to make some changes and transform him a little bit here. So, Father, we lift up Jonah to you right now. We ask you, Lord, to help him at school. He's been doing good in so many other areas. And so just help him to grow up, in a sense, Lord, to learn that what he has to do, where it's what's expected of him, and that he can do it. And that there's a blessing in it. Just we pray that he would get the blessing out of it, Father. Just thank you, Father. Just work in his little life, Father. Just thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Jonah. And yeah. Lord, we know what the word says about children that disobey. And we ask that mama does it.
Yes, amen.
She takes a rod of correction and busts him up when he needs it. Yes, and love him when he needs that too. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I got one other thing. I just was hearing the election's over in England, you know, in the UK. It looks like Boris Johnson's going to win a sweeping victory. The exit polls are out, which have been really accurate in the past. So it's not official, but they show that he's going to have a resounding victory, gaining many, many seats, which would be good for the UK. So, anyway, so.
That should encourage him to have this backbone he's going to need to have, like Trump did.
Yeah.
With that resounding victory like that, he ought to know that he's got the people behind him now.
Yes.
Amen. Go ahead, Denny.
And Lord, we pray it would really rub off on some of these other nations over there, Father, that they would turn back to more of a patriotism and a nationalism rather than this globalism, Father. Just we stand against that stuff in the name of Jesus. And so we just thank you for this victory, and we pray that it would spread to those other nations. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Father, we thank you for disrupting this deep state garbage that's throughout the world. It's been going on for generations and generations, Lord, and we know that you're pulling the plug and you're draining the swamp. And it's going to take a lot. It's going to take the whole world in order to help do this. And be behind it. And I thank you, Father, that that's what's happening. You're placing it in people's heart not to fall for the evil, corrupt ways of the deep state in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. All right. Anyone else?
I'd like some prayer too, but I wanted to spend just share a little bit about my upbringing first, and I don't want to, if somebody else wants to have prayer, I don't want to, you know, take a bunch
go
of
ahead,
time.
Go ahead, Malcolm. You'll be fine.
Okay. Well, I the reason I want to, my father's in the natural not doing well, and they just did a bunch of testing today and found out that his lungs are really bad. He's 92 or so. So his lungs are really badly infected, and they're not, and there maybe also bacteria going on, and he hasn't reacted. When they have done anesthesia in the past, he's been he kind of goes Lulu mentally. It took him probably, I don't know, a few weeks to pull out of that a couple summers ago. Anyway, I wanted to just say a little bit about him and me. And our family went to Nepal. My dad's a doctor, went to Nepal in 1967 to a little mission hospital. It was about 32-bed hospital. And it's the kind of situation where completely understaffed, just a handful of people trying to take care of. And in the summer, especially, it's really bad when cholera would break out. My dad almost died, actually physically almost died, because he went so many days without sleep. And actually, the Lord worked on somebody's heart down in India, just told him to go up to Nepal to this hospital. He wanted him to go now. The Lord said that. So this guy got on, he didn't have much money. He got on a train, and then he ended up on bus and ended up at the hospital and said, the Lord told me to come. So he just took over the whole operation of the hospital for a short time until the one nurse and my dad could recover for a while. So anyway, but when I was so... In the early years while we were there, I had a cousin that my parents are totally swamped because of all the work they were doing. So they didn't have a lot of time for parenting. But my cousin was not a believer. And she and I chummed up. And she had quite an influence on me. But one of the things that she was just divisive as far as keeping me from my parents. She said that I wasn't supposed to talk to my parents about all kinds of stuff, which is just really inappropriate. But then she left after a year. Well, I went through something really traumatic. I don't really want to go into it here, but it was, I had a tremendous amount of grieving going on. But because of what my cousin had impressed on me, I couldn't talk to my parents about it, the things that had happened. So I was holding that in, didn't talk to anybody. And then my family situation started getting really dysfunctional, and I was really being destroyed. And I started having a lot of rage and lashing out, and it was just – but my father, with all of his – the nice thing about our situation in Nepal was that our house was quite close to the hospital, and even though my dad was working crazy hours, he'd still come home to eat, and so he was around a lot more than when we were in the States. So, but my dad was getting pretty frustrated, and he didn't say much about what was going on. He And I'm saying this, I didn't know this was going on at the time, but my mother said he would go for long, long walks. And he's always been a praying man. But he was apparently trying to sort out what to do. Well, he ended up making arrangements with my aunt and uncle, who at the time were moving from Taiwan to Singapore. And they'd been missionaries in Japan for years. But anyway, somehow my dad made arrangements with them for me to go to Singapore and stay with them to try to get me out of the situation in Nepal. So I ended up flying down to Singapore, which is about a little more than 5 hours, it depends on, and there's a layover in Bangkok during those years anyway. You couldn't just fly straight through. So I got there. My aunt and uncle didn't have room for me because they just gotten to Singapore and they had boxes everywhere. So the room they decided for me to stay in was just crammed with boxes. So I stayed at a place, a bungalow nearby. This used to be an old military, not military, but British command center in Singapore. So, but now it was like this headquarters for this church. So anyway, I stayed, the folks that lived next door to my aunt and uncle there had to got rid of the States on furlough. So the house there was temporarily vacant. So there was already an elderly gentleman who was staying there temporarily. So they worked it out for me to also stay in one of the other rooms in this house. So, of course, for me, this is my seventh grade year, so it was very traumatic for me to leave, you know, and go to a completely different country I'd never been to. And it was quite something. But I remember getting up in the morning and going past, going out past the living room. And here is this elderly gentleman sitting there, and I can still see him. You know, the place was furnished, though they had couches and chairs and whatnot in the living room. So he was sitting there in one of the couches with a lamp, you know, next to him with a light on. He was sitting there with his Bible open. And this is like every morning I get up, I go past him. Here's the light on. He's sitting there spending time with the Lord every morning. And that made such an impression on me. And it was like, as I walked into that area, it was like there was a holiness there, like God's presence was there. And so he would, at the nearby college church, he would preach every week. And what would typically happen in the sermons, he would start into his topic. And then he'd end up in Revelation, and then he'd start talking about the New Jerusalem and about Jesus and a wonderful, you know, just he'd get into the whole situation and getting to heaven and seeing Jesus, and then he would just start crying, just weeping up at the front. This is a big church, a lot of people. It was quite a large college that was international, so it was a big, big crowd with the fans going overhead and all these louvered windows open because it was so hot and humid. So I remember going home with my aunt and uncle. I was, you know, staying with them. So we would leave and go back home. And my aunt invariably she'd say, you know, why did he have to preach so long? You know, we've got to get to our meal. He just preaches too long. And then why does he have to cry all the time? He's always crying. I didn't say anything in the back seat there, but I was just, I thought, this is the best thing ever to hear this guy, you know. It was just this most wonderful, I just wanted to hear more of him talking about Jesus, you know. So, well, what's so interesting about all this was my going to Singapore completely snapped me out of a very dangerous situation for me. And it was like the best thing that ever happened at that time. But my dad didn't know anything about the really difficult stuff that had happened before. And although he could see the way I was being treated, and that's why he got me out of there. But he didn't see the other stuff that was really eating me up. But it's like the Lord worked through my dad to get me out of that situation and completely reverse stuff that was getting me into a very healthy situation, plus coming very close to and just seeking after the Lord, putting that deep in my heart. Not that I hadn't had that before, but it was just this wonderful situation. And I think, you know, even though this is all in a denominational situation, I know the Lord worked through my dad. Of course, he was very, very, he never talked much about it, but you could tell he was very, very upset about sending me off as his oldest son. But I think he just didn't know what else to do. But in the end, it was just wonderful. So anyway, he's that's a little bit of that. And this was back in probably 1970, I guess, when I went to Singapore. So for that school year. And then later we went to the States, and I heard this most incredible guy speaking there that just more and more wanting to follow the Lord. And there's an old man that just, you know, another older gentleman that, you know, the Lord was everything to him, and his, you know, people just, he was just changing lives. It was incredible what was going on. So, and what's interesting is if you look at in 1970 in February, there's the Asbury Revival in Kentucky at that college there, which really swept across the country. And it also came eventually to Singapore, where I was a couple years later in 72, because I went back to school there. The following, we came to the States 71, 72, and then 73 on, I was in Singapore going to high school. So, and it was the fall of 73 that's when the Lord really met me. And I knew, I think one of the big things that happened at that time in 73, the fall of 73, we'd gone on a witnessing trip the whole month in Indonesia that summer. So when school got going again, I've already talked about this, but what one of the things that was really impressed on me was that actually Jesus died for me personally. And when he was dying, it was like, it was so real. It was like when he was dying, he was dying specifically for me. It wasn't like he wasn't dying for everybody else, but he was dying for me. I don't know if there are probably some of you that have felt that, but it was just complete. Oh my goodness. It was totally overwhelming. And then of course he was telling me that he was going to use me and that session took it, you know, lasted quite a while, 2 or 3 hours since the Lord just sat me down and talked to me. So anyway, it was just neat how all those events, you know, led up to the fall of 73. So anyway, I've just been concerned about my dad because, you know, he's still in this denominational mindset. I guess I have to say I'm not super concerned about his eternal future. It's just that I've been praying for, you know, I've been praying that he'd be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that he'd see, you know, some of this denominational stuff that he needs to repent of. But of course, he doesn't see it that way right now, and he does spend time with the Lord every day. And you know, he and my mom have, you know, morning worship, evening worship together, and separately. So anyway, but the prognosis right now for him is, I mean, in the natural, he's too elderly to do all the surgery stuff. And, you know, so the only real answer is the Lord. And of course, the promises are all there. We discussed them at length here. So, so one of the things I want to pray for is faith for myself and peace and all of this, and also that he'll direct in my association with the family. And also guidance regarding my father, because I don't know the timing of all that. Obviously, there's stuff going on right now that, you know, there may be some things that would be really hard for people to go through, especially elderly people. So I don't know if, but I'd rather just go with what the gospel says, and that is we're healed, delivered, everything's taken care of, and we don't have to be dying from plagues or diseases or any of those things. There's a way to die, and to me, that's not it. So, if you know what I mean. So, although the Lord can use... anyway, I don't want to negotiate on all that stuff. I just want what I've been praying for. So, and that is that my dad be healed. And that also I have peace and faith myself. So, Michael, any comments? And maybe you can take it from there.
Well, did you want to pray, Malcolm?
I could. I've kind of told a lot. Do you have enough that you could kind of pray about the situation? I'd be happy to pray again. We've already prayed for him here, so I want to be kind of in the mode of thanking God that he's going to just standing.
Okay.
Standing on what, you know.
All right. Well, we just hook our faith up with Malcolm and his family, and we thank you, Father, that the prayers will be answered, and you're in control, Father, and we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a great time for everybody to reflect on their relationship with you, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Make you just come alive in everybody there, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And also, anybody I'd like to pray for my mother. I just go ahead, Michael. You had something to say there.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Yeah, Lord, I just pray that my mom get deliverance. She's got a lot of fear going on, and she doesn't even know the extent of the prognosis now. But I just pray that you will. Give her, she's had a lot of problems with fear all of her life and has stuff that needs to be dealt with, Lord. And I've been praying about that for some time. But I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to make a way, open the doors, and that you'll give her peace in this situation and let her enter into that Sabbath rest, ceasing from her labors and her own worries and all these things. Say that wait upon the Lord, she'll never be ashamed, Lord. Ask you put that on her heart, that she'll just trust in you and fall upon the rock. And I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We bind up fear out of his mother right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you're going to take the place of fear. And we thank you for it, Father, that she'll keep her eyes on you, Lord. And not worry about be anxious or fear of nothing. She don't have to. It's just you she needs to keep her eyes on. And Lord, we thank you for doing that for her in Jesus' name. She may not even know how, Lord, but I know you can show her. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, the other night I was, I think the Lord brought a lot of this to my mind. And I was almost overwhelmed with the way God led and guiding my dad and all these things that happened. And I just feel like the Lord over and over has orchestrated things and watched out for me and put me in situations that are just phenomenal. I just want to praise him, you know, for his guidance and just incredible. I was so happy that, you know, I knew there was problems. My dad was having a lot of serious problems, but I was just almost jumping for joy. because of just thinking about all the stuff the Lord's done, you know.
Amen.
So
that's awesome. That's putting joy and peace in your heart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
It's still a battle because, you know, all this news is so overwhelming. It's just like when I, you know, we've got this problem, that problem, that's not operable. We can't fix that. And, you know, so anyway, I sent a text to everybody in my family. We have this kind of a news thing going with messaging. And I sent a text saying, you know, listing, you know, Isaiah 53 and 2 Peter, you know, all the texts about that by his stripes we are healed, and then by his stripes we were healed, and then I finally, and I don't know that it was, this is all that appropriate, but I finally said, you know, all these doctors' reports that were, this is what is, but we want to, because I just quoted the text before that we don't go by what is, we go by what is not. So then I said, this doctor's report and all this stuff that we're hearing is the evil report. and it's what is, and it's diametrically opposed to what God's promises are regarding the situation. And then I finally finished up, let God be true and every man a liar. Mind you, all these people that are recipients of this message are like totally not there, and they're in the, you know, Jesus healed, yes, but not, but now we go to doctors. That's how God works now. So anyway,
amen.
Pray the Lord use that and forgive me for if I'm was inappropriate or stepped out of his guidance there, and but also that he use it anyway.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Lord. Michael, and everybody.
Yeah, well, that was interesting. Thank you for sharing. That was awesome. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment with about Malcolm or anything? Lord, I just thank you for peace in that household in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Amen. Okay. All right, who's next? Does anybody got a testimony or prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
I have a couple prayer requests and then a testimony. Alex is coming home tomorrow for Christmas break, and I want to pray about that. Father, I thank you, Lord, for peace in our household. Thank you, Lord, for putting love and respect in Alex's heart for his father and I. And I just cast down and forbid any spirits of division or faction to come into this house. Commanded all to go and stay out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for putting respect in Alex's heart. And I just thank you, Lord, for a time, Lord, of bonding with Alex, Lord. And I just tear down all those walls that are up in the name of Jesus. I rebuke rejection, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for softening his heart up, most of all towards you, Lord, because if you're working in his heart concerning yourself, Lord, it's the most important thing, Lord, that everything else falls into line, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for a joyful, peaceful time with Alex while he's on break. Thank you, Lord. Okay, there's something that I want to ask Merle. There's something that I bought not long after we got married, and I'm selling it now. And I bought it with my own money at the time. And I even asked him for permission. You know, I asked him if it was all right, even though I used my own money. But now I'm selling it. And I'm not absolutely sure that Merle remembers the whole situation. But the Lord put it in my heart to do something specific with that money. And so I'm just asking the Lord that he work it all out give me favor with Merle, and then it not be an issue, and then it not ever be thrown back in my face for any reason, that the enemy not use it to cause division in any way. And so Father, I just thank you for doing that. I really believe that you put this in my heart, and I just thank you, Lord, that Merle will be agreeable and peaceable with it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe it too. Thank you, Lord, for giving favor to Merle. And we praise you, Father, for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I'd also like to share, I texted my sister yesterday, last night, and she didn't answer me until today. You know, I asked her how she was doing and all, and this is what she says. She says, doing good, not in tears daily or at all. I'm reading daily devotions, praying and singing my praises daily. I have read a small part of the book that you gave me, which is Sovereign God. And she said, my spirit is changing, trusting the Lord more. And that just like, I was like, wow, Lord, you're so awesome. I'm like, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise you. Yeah, because, I mean, I know that deliverance, the things that the Lord delivered her from, you know, when I commanded these spirits off of her is what has made the difference. And I just praise and thank the Lord that for that. It's awesome. So awesome. Praise you, Lord. Just wanted to share that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a brand new relationship with Missy and her sister.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, what else? Anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn.
Well, I've got a prayer request and a couple of praise reports. I think I'll start with the praise report. So first, I wanted to thank the Lord. I know Missy knows, and maybe Tim and Michael and Leon, because they were there praying for me early Sunday morning. But I had last Thursday got a really nasty burn on my arm when I was cooking, and for the first day, and it didn't hurt, and it wasn't looking bad or anything. But Saturday night, it started getting swollen around the burn area, and red and hot to the touch. And Barry was praying for me and praying with me, but I was also having a lot of spiritual oppression as well. So I got in touch with Julie because the Lord, in His grace, He woke me up right as the prayer meeting was starting there in Tennessee. Although that's like 4 o'clock our time, he woke me up and put on my heart to get in touch with Julie, and the saints prayed for me. And I wanted to report that the burn is healing up so quickly. I'm just so thankful. And almost immediately, the signs of infection, the swelling and the redness and the heat around it left. And then it just started getting smaller. And also, Michael, for you and David, for your prayers, because the spiritual oppression left as well. And I just give all praise to the Lord for that. And so I'm very, very thankful. And the other thing is the Lord is giving us some rain. This is the time of year when we get our rain, and usually starts September or October. And it's not unusual for us during that period up to where we are right now to have already gotten 6, 7, 8 inches of rain. And up until a couple of days ago, we'd only had a couple of inches of rain. But over the last day and a half, we've gotten over an inch. And so we're really thankful, because when we don't get the rain up here, it makes, a lot of times there are wildfires and things up here in the summer. And when you have a real dry winter and spring, that's not good. So I want to thank the Lord for that. And the last thing is I'd like to pray for our daughter. And she had a mole on her leg that she's had since she was a little girl. And she's 30 now. And anyway, she recently went to the dermatologist because it was growing and kind of changing. And she didn't talk she didn't speak to me about it at all until I think the day she was going to the doctor. She just, because she knew that I would just want to pray for her. But, you know, we can't put our faith on other people. And so anyway, they took most of it out, and she went back, and the pathology report was inconclusive, and they had her come back for a follow-up visit today, and they're still not real happy with the way that it looks, and she doesn't have insurance, and so if they go in and do more surgery, it's going to be expensive and painful. And right now, on the authority of the mighty name of Jesus, I just break the spirit of cancer in my family, this generational curse of skin cancer and all other forms of cancer against my family. I see it in my siblings and now the sphere of it on my daughter. And we just command this to go. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We're redeemed from all the power and the curse of sin and death. We are delivered from all the power of darkness and every evil work. And by his stripes, we were healed. And Father, I thank you for perfecting faith in Jenny's heart. I see you doing a good work in her heart. I see the love of Christ working in her and the Holy Spirit drawing her. And I see a softening in her. And I pray that even through this, Lord, that you would minister to her. And Lord, I am bold because I believe, Lord, that she will see the power of God for healing, that she's going to be a witness to that. And I thank you, Lord, for the good work you're doing in her. And I pray you put her little heart at peace. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask that through this, that their daughter would see you glorified in this, Lord. Mm-hmm. That it would be you that does it, not the doctors, not mm-hmm. anybody but you, Lord, because it's going to be a miracle. And it'll be a testament to her. Mm-hmm. Of your goodness and your grace upon her, Lord. And I mm-hmm. praise you for doing that for her. And in the name of Jesus right now, I bind up and cast off for her the spirit of cancer. and command it to go in Jesus' name. And I command that spirit of the fear of cancer to leave her body right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I thank you, Father, that she's going to come out of this a fighting warrior of God. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Mary and Marilyn's daughter right now, in Jesus' name. Does everybody here believe that? I believe those cancer cells are dried up in Jesus' name. Praise be to God forevermore. I praise you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're looking for the good report now. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Tim.
I'd like to offer up a prayer for Malcolm real quick. I've been thinking about that.
Oh, okay. Let me see if Marilyn's through yet. I thought maybe he's going to pray for her. Yeah, go ahead, Barry.
Yeah. I'm asking for prayer for some people down the road from us, down the road from our little town. These people's house just burned to the ground today, this afternoon. I guess it was around 2-3 o'clock. And the house is gone, and there's, you know, several people living in that house. I don't know these people, you know, haven't had anything to do with them, but that's not a good thing for anybody. And I'd like to have everybody agree with me on for praying for these people. Father, we pray to bless these folks down the road whose house burned down. Father, pray you provide for them to have a place to stay. And set them on the road to recovery from this thing. And Father, we pray that in this, you draw them close to yourself, that it make a big change in their life. And Father, pray you have done this for their good. It may appear to be really bad to them. But Father, we pray that by your grace and mercy that you'll draw them close to yourself and give them a new beginning. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Good prayer. Amen. Lord, we believe it with him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right, Tim, I'm sorry. I just misjudged that one.
Okay, I probably jumped the gun. I just like, you know, just pray for Malcolm and his family and his mom in particular, that they know the Lord and they know you, Lord. They know your power. Faith strong, give him peace as they go through this trial. Give his dad bold faith to accept the healing that you have for him, if that's your will, which it is, that you will heal everybody, and get that infection out of his lungs so he doesn't have to worry about the doctors and the surgery. And in the process, just increase the faith of the rest of his family, Lord, that and they can put their faith together and accept this healing and receive it. Just thank you for all you're doing for Malcolm and his family, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, as you were speaking there, Malcolm. Oh, I thought I was on double pause there. As you were speaking, Malcolm, I was kind of came to mind as you were talking about your father. I talked to my dad, well, briefly. You know, we don't talk too much, and so I guess he's kind of brief with his words a lot of times, you know. And he sent me an email back this past week when I reached out to him. So I guess he has. I know, like, nothing about it, but I just looked it up online here as you were speaking. I guess they said the doctor said he has, you know, there's no cure for it, diverticulosis. I have no idea if that's how you pronounce it. It's a infection, I think, in the colon or in the digestive tract. You know, it says, like, I was just briefly looking up online there to get some ideas because, you know, I guess the Lord just kind of brought it to my mind, like, hey, you know, you know, my dad put that in the email there briefly saying that's what it was. But then he was also saying, because on his family, you know, side, there's always been heart issues. And so I guess he's got to go here soon to the doctor, to a heart doctor, you know, for an AFib. Yeah, I mean, I know nothing about that pretty much, but it's, I'm kind of confused here. I was like, well, you're talking about this, you know, digestive tract infection, I guess is what it is. And then now you're talking about your heart. So I just sent him an email. I'm like, okay, I'm confused here. You know, give me a little more information, because I don't know if it's your heart or your digestive tract, but I just wanted to pray for him, you know, because this is, I know God uses sickness to humble people. You know, I mean, we've heard many testimones, and I've heard many testimonies of how he uses it to reach out to people, because, you know, my dad's not saved. And, you know, just to, you know, I guess you could say ex-Roman Catholic, still considers himself, I'm not sure. And, you know, so I would pray that, if someone else feels led to pray, you know, but yeah, just agree with me that the Lord would use this to begin that process of getting his attention. You know, he seems like he's pretty hard-hearted towards God, and I don't know. You know, I mean, just definitely use this to get his attention, because I believe it will. You know, I don't know how major this infection is or whatever it is, but, you know, yeah, I pray for just the humbling to come from it most of all. You know, to cause him to just say, wow, you know, okay, what are you trying to do here, God? Or, you know, you got my attention, so what do you want me to know? So, yeah, just go ahead and agree with me here. Father, I just thank you for just this, thank you for changing my heart as well. I want to confess that I was resistant to reach out to my family because, you know, my heart, I wasn't willing. So I thank you, Lord, that you changed my heart and I made an effort. You know, I was willing, just like, you know, I believe they were willing, you know, so I thank you for that. And I thank you for the restoration you're causing, the reconciliation. You know, like, continue to further that job, Lord, that process to where we could, you know, we could begin to speak to one another on a deeper basis, you know, that we would put aside the pride and the everything, Lord. Help us all to do that, to speak to one another, you know, and to learn to love one another, Lord, you know. And so I thank you for that, what you're going to do and what you've already done. But I pray for my father most of all. Lord, I know that I know he's always been really resistant. But then again, I mean, I haven't been the best witness either in the past. So, I mean, anybody would be resistant to somebody who tries to cram it down their throats, you know, or just who's very, you know, aggressive. So, but I just, you know, I really don't know where he is, Lord. You know, if he's really, you know, just thinking about these things, or if he's totally resistant. You know, that's not clear to me. But Lord, you know where he is. You know his heart. You know his thoughts. You know everything about him. So I just pray through this recent diagnosis. You know, if it's with his heart, or if, you know, if it is this infection within the digestive tract, you know, in the colon, you know, it says, you know, the doctors, the world says this can't be cured. But Lord, that's nothing for you. You know, we know that, you know, your promise to those who believe you, you know, your own children, is that you can heal anything. So we just ask that, as you've used many times with many others, you know, sicknesses to humble them, you know, to break them, you know, to get their attention, I pray that you do the same with my father, Lord. You know, if that's what, if that's your purpose in this, you know, to get him to think about, you know, these things, what's important in life, you know, and that's first and foremost, that's you and having a relationship with your son. So I just, I pray that you would start that process in, you know, in his life, that he would, this infection, symptoms, whatever comes from it, would just begin to cause him to stop and think, you know, about things he never really did, you know, things he hasn't. So Lord, I thank you for the work you're going to do through all this. I thank you for the healing. You know, I believe that you will heal him. But Lord, that, you know, you have a purpose in this. So I pray that your purpose, most of all, your will be done, you know, in this infection. Whatever it is you want to do through it, Lord, let your will be done. You know, you can heal him. But Lord, most of all, I'd rather see your will be done in his life. If that's leading him to Christ, if this is what causes it, then Lord, let your will be done. So I thank you for what you're going to do ahead of time. And I praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, you promised us household salvation. And I know Joe has prayed for his father. And we thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to his father. We thank you, Lord, that whatever you deem necessary to bring him to that point, I thank you for it, Father. And I'm asking you to put rest in Joe's heart to believe that his prayers are being answered and that his Father's going to come around to you, Lord, and you're going to do a mighty miracle for him. And I praise you for that, Father, that this is the beginning of a restoration of Joe's family to each other. And that once that this happens, Lord, I'm looking for love to flow out of every one of them in a mighty way, Lord, your love, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for taking these old stony hearts and making a fleshly heart out of them, a pliable, lovely, fleshly heart, just like yours, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for Joe and his family, in Jesus' name. We're looking for the great report back from Joe. Not too distant future either, in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it. Now we bind up the spirit of infirmity upon Joe's dad. And we thank you, Lord, for casting it off of him right now in Jesus' name. And that when it goes, this infirmity that he says the doctors can't cure, that Joe will be able to tell him in a loving fashion that it was Jesus that did that. We prayed for you. I prayed for you. And God healed you. And Lord, we thank you for opening his eyes up, spiritually speaking, to see the truth of the gospel in his life, in Jesus' name. Everybody agree? Amen. Thank you, Father, for the victory for Joe's dad, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead, Debbie. What's your name?
Said it right. I just want to share a little testimony that will be encouraging to Joe and all of us, praying for our families. A friend that we left in Illinois at our church, actually the elder's wife at that church, she had prayed for her dad. First of all, her mother got saved many years ago. And she'd been praying for her dad for a long time. Not that we have to pray a long time, but she was. And he got really sick, and he was in the hospital. One day, a doctor came in and sat down and said to him, "Old man, are you ready to meet your maker?" And that's what he was asked, and that's what turned him. And then I think it was Ginger's sister who talked to him or something, and he led to the Lord through that. But got him really thinking was, "Old man, are you ready to meet your maker?" And they never saw that man again. They never saw this doctor. They never got a bill from him or anything. So, you know, God is so faithful to answer our prayers for our lost loved ones. And so I believe he's doing all these neat things, you know, appearing to them in dreams or walking into a room and talking to them through somebody else like that and sending an angel. And I want to say, too, I was talking to my daughter a little bit ago, and it was really encouraging. She seems so far away, but yet things she says like, "Yeah, God, I know you're working there. I know you're working there." So I sent her to Psalm 91 because I was telling her things about, she brought the stuff up that's going on in the world and I mentioned the things that she never even heard of. And she goes, "Wow, things are getting so bad. You know, what's going to happen to us?" Like, you know, and she's kind of talking about fear, being fearful and everything. And I mentioned about Psalm 91 and the Passover and, "So you go read that, Gloria. You go read Psalm 91. And she says she will do it. So I said, "You read it every day. So you can put your trust and your faith in that. If you're really abiding in the Lord, if you're abiding in him and trusting in him, he's your Savior, you know that this is what he's going to be doing for you." So I was glad to be able to say that to her. And I just know God's going to use that. So that was just that phone call was just showed me that God's answering. It's in little ways, and ways that you think, "I don't know," but then things come up that are like, "Yeah, God's got to be doing a work here because she wouldn't have talked this way before or listened to me or responded the way she did." And so I just want to pray for her. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you will minister to Gloria, and God, that you will cause her to read this, read Psalm 91, Lord, and speak to her through it and let something well up in her, a faith well up in her, God, and a desire to want that and to realize that she only has it through being close with you and abiding in you, Lord, and to remember, Lord, all that she's known in her life as a in being raised in a Christian home, as she mentioned, that she's glad she was. And so I just pray, Lord, that you bring all this back to her and help her to realize the importance, how it's her decision with you, Father, and coming to you, Lord, and allowing you to forgive her for sins, Lord. And I just pray that you're, just trust you're going to do a big work in her life, Lord. And thank you that you work in all of our families, God. You're answering all our prayers for them, God, in ways that we don't know. We just believe you are, because you're a big God and you have many ways to work, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We give you all the praise now for all their salvations, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, Joe, you make sure if you tell your dad what she just told her dad, that you're led by the Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm getting riled up now. You make sure it's the Holy Spirit.
No, I learned that years ago not to do that anymore.
I thought that's a good evangelistic method there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Blunt and to the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Okay. Yeah, Missy.
Today is my daughter-in-law Megan's birthday. My son Matt's wife, and if y'all remember, they're kind of distant from the family and have had this rift with my mom and dad. And I had sent her an email, you know, wishing her a happy birthday, you know, with some, you know, funky. Couple of funky birthday moving things, gifts or whatever. And so I had texted my son Matt earlier and asked him to give me a call when they get a chance so I can wish her a happy birthday. And he hasn't answered me yet. And so I just want to pray that he does answer, you know, he does give me a call so I can do that. And we're having a family get together January 4th, and we're all going to go out to this steakhouse or whatever. And I want to pray about that too, for Matt and Megan to be going. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for moving in Matt and Megan's hearts, Lord. Tear down those walls of unforgiveness and rejection, and even cast down spirit of faction in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You have no place. And I command you to go. Lord, grant them repentance unto salvation, Lord. And I just pray that you put it in their heart to go, Lord. They went in the spring to dinner with everybody, and I just pray that they will go to this too, Lord, in Jesus' name. And remind Matt to give me a call so I can wish Megan a happy birthday, Lord. I just ask you to touch her heart, that she would know that I love her, Lord, and that I care, Lord, and that I'm not able to express that because of the wall, Lord. I express it as best I can, Lord, but it's hard when someone has a wall up there and doesn't want to receive, and I just command it to come down. And I thank you, Lord, that Megan and I are going to have a good relationship one day, Lord, and I'm believing that it's going to be soon, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We believe with her, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, buddy.
Oh my God, I need to prayer. I got a prayer request, please. Nora's coming back tomorrow after 2 weeks on her own, and we need some wisdom together as a family for our way forward and about the health. Just to make decisions on our way forward and for our health, please. Thank you.
You're muted, Michael.
I'm sorry.
Speaking into the air.
Can't hear me either, can you? I was having real lot of trouble there understanding what you said. Your volume is low. It's one thing. I don't know why, but did anybody understand what he said? Missy? What does that mean? That means, I understood. Oh, a little bit. Okay, Joe, get closer to your microphone and
tell it her
if you can.
Huh? Is it better now? Is it better now?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot better, yeah.
Nora was away 2 weeks on a retreat to recover from health and make some big decisions in her life about the way forward to us as a family. And mm-hmm. to the Lord, and we need some prayer for that, please.
Did she make it back home?
Tomorrow. She's coming back tomorrow, after 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we lift up Nora to you, Lord, and I thank you for talking to her. I thank you, Lord, for placing love in her heart for the Word. And I thank you, Father, for talking to her and telling her the things that she needed to know, showing her the things that she needed to know. And Lord, that when she comes home, she's going to be full of joy and peace in her heart about what you told her. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you place in Joe's heart to have only love and peace in his heart, that it's being done, that you are working in her heart. And she sought you, Lord, and you told her what she needed, what has to be done. Sometimes, Lord, that we hear things from you that we don't like to hear, but we're willing to change and go ahead and do what you want us to do because we know it's good for us. And I'm just praising you beforehand that Nora's going to be a changed woman when she gets home in the name of Jesus. And I command those rebellious spirits off of her in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for replacing it with love and joy and peace in you, Lord, that she doesn't have to be with a group of people to be in fellowship with you, Lord. She can fellowship with you alone. And I hope, I thank you, Lord, for doing that and showing her that during these last days of her solitude with you, Lord. And I praise you for all of these things that you've done. I suspect that you've given her dreams. I suspect you've given her visions. If she has truly sought you, Lord, I know she'll find you because you told us to ask, to seek, and to knock, and the door is going to be open. You're going to tell us what we need to know, Lord. And I thank you for the work that you've done in Nora and Joe, in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray?
Thank you. And
Lord, I consider it done in Jesus' name. And I know everybody here believes with me. Thank you, Father, for the great, mighty miracle that you're working in Nora. In Jesus' name. Nora, you be delivered in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. Okay, Joe. I believe it's done, brother. Okay. Anybody else? All right. We have a subject. And Tim, would you like to share with them what you want to talk about here out of 1 Samuel 28? I sent everybody that's on my email list an email. Greg, if you'll give me yours, I can send you one, and Chet too, if he wants one, every time we have something like this. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I came across these verses when I was doing my morning verse earlier this week, and there was a lot going on there, and we were talking about it, Anna and Debbie and I, and we were getting more questions than answers. So I was kind of thinking that hopefully we could have a discussion and figure out why that, I know that, you know, the Lord is really against the familiar spirits. And it seems to be that they are actually a something that works. It's an evil, you know, and quite why. And I was hoping we could figure that out, because twice in Leviticus, you know, almost back to back, the same thing. He says, you know, you will have no, there's a law against holy spirits and wizards, and the people that consult them will be stoned. Yet, so Samuel rid the country of these people with familiar spirits. And then as soon as he got in trouble, he went and consulted them. And then it appears that the Spirit actually manifested Samuel for him, and because it says in there that Samuel talked to him. So I don't know where you want to go with that, but I'm just hoping to get some insight from you folks on what you saw in there.
Okay. Okay,
what's you want text?
What?
What's the text?
1 Samuel 28, 3 through 20. And then there's a little follow-up in 1 Chronicles 10, 13 and 14. There's a couple other associated verses that I found while I was... But that's basically where I started with my question.
Now, what was your question?
Well, why would Samuel know that, Saul know that he took the Lord at his word and rid the country of diviners and people with familiar spirits, and then as soon as he got into a bind, he went to search out the familiar spirit to get an answer why God wasn't answering him. And Samuel had already told him, you know, prior to that he wasn't going to answer him because of his disobedience. And so now he's being more disobedient. And there's a lot of paradoxes in here, and I'm just trying to sort out what the message is to us, except obedience, if that's all there is to it.
All right. Anybody want to? Do y'all understand the question? Why did the Lord use a familiar spirit to bring Samuel up, to give Saul an answer?
Is the question why the spirit appeared, or why did the witch at Endor, why was she the conduit?
Why did the Lord use the witch at Endor to conjure up Samuel? In order to give the message to Saul, when he told him, said, "You fix him or die, buddy," you know, essentially. Why would he use a medium where he basically, well, he strictly forbade it back in Leviticus. Okay, go ahead, Malcolm. Here comes the answer, y'all. You got to unmute yourself, Malcolm.
Oh, I'm unmuted. I just muted myself.
No, you're unmuted now.
Yeah, I was with that preface, I don't know if I should say anything. The answer cometh, forthcoming. Well, I've just been, you know, something I think a lot of us have thought about over the years. Clearly, Saul, God wasn't answering Saul in any way. And, you know, it reminds me of Herod after he killed John. If you notice, Jesus never addressed Herod again, even though he was finally brought into his presence, compliments of the soldiers and everything. Herod asked all these questions. He just kept his mouth shut. I think that's what was going on with Saul. It was too late. God wasn't going to talk to him anymore. So that was Saul's only option. He was desperate. He couldn't seek the Lord anymore. It was clear to him that the Lord wasn't going to answer him. So his only option was go to the dark side. I really think what happened there with Samuel being brought up was, I think with, the Bible says that God answers us according to our idols. But I think God has the ability to override Satan's devices and the familiar spirit situation and all that. I just suspect that God dictated, you know, if it was a demon, if it was Samuel himself, or if it was a demon, emulating Samuel, I think whatever that entity spoke was coming from God for Saul. That's just the feeling I got, but it was like in stages for Saul. It was like the curse. So anyway, I don't know. I think God's in charge of all this stuff, and even though it's very dark side stuff. So that's...
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Let's see what Chet has to say. Go ahead. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Greg. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, thank you. We're not told of anything in the encounter in the heavenlies about this, but in 1 Kings 22, when Ahab was kind of coming into an arrangement with, was it Jehoshaphat, to go out against the Syrians. But in 1 Kings, hang on a sec, chapter, right? Yeah, 22:22. There's a dialogue that's going on in heaven, and the Lord said, you know, so your spirit comes forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord says, how? He said, I'll go out and be a deceiving spirit or a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And then there's then it goes into what happened, in the physical plane with all of that. So I don't see any problem with the Lord going, really? You really want to ask, get your insights that way? You watch what happens then, you know, and he answered him according to his idols. You know, Saul had been told, that's it, mate. And Saul was obviously, by this point in time, was desperate for anything and wasn't getting it, and thought, sadly, the man did not repent, which is his only option, as is for all of us, and humility. But Saul was a proud man too. And thought, okay, does anyone know where there is a medium or a witch? And one of his men said, yeah, I do. Which would indicate, I would imagine, that he was probably, had it in his back pocket, given that his boss said, clean them all out. But anyway, he went there. And there's always debate as to, was it really Samuel or not? He certainly presented as Samuel. Basically gave him the same message he gave on earth. He said, that's it. The line's been crossed. There is no going back. The Lord is slow to anger. But sometimes when, you know, he puts a line in the dirt, then that line doesn't move, particularly without repentance. I mean, Nineveh, for example, repented. Even Ahab at one point repented. And the Lord relented.
Yep.
That's my 2 cents worth anyway.
Okay. All right, I think we're right on target. Anybody else? Now, yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, you know, what came to me too, besides some of the stuff that was already said, was even though it says what it says, you know, God says in Leviticus and everything about diviners and familiar spirits and all, at the same time, you can't put God in a box either. You know, that's just what came to me, was you can't put God in a box. You can't put him in a box. He can use anything that he wants to do. He's sovereign. And especially when, you know, it's already been said is the Lord will answer you according to your idols, you know. And it's, you know, I find it very ironic, you know, that, you know, God wouldn't answer him. He was going to God and he wasn't getting any answers from God. So he went that direction and you know, I think he was really hoping to get a good answer, and he didn't get a good answer at all, you know? So he got a death sentence basically with the Lord told him through the whole situation. So yeah, it was almost like him doing that was the last nail in his own coffin by doing that. So anyway.
All right. Well, Tracy wants to know, was it really Samuel that came up? Okay, Joe, go ahead.
There we go. I kind of had something along that same line of what Malcolm first started, but it seems like it's different. I forget the verses, but that's the first thing that popped in my mind. You know, the Lord said, I'll answer you according to your idols, or I'll speak through your idols and tell you what you want to hear. Tell you the lies, pretty much what you want to hear. But I guess in this case, it was the truth. You know, God used the medium. And we're not sure if it was Saul, but, you know, to speak the truth. So, I mean, it wasn't what Saul heard. You know, I got a question there, if anyone can answer. I mean, okay, why did God, in this case, it seems like, I mean, it's different. It's not God giving him what he wanted to hear, like, you know, whatever exactly Saul wanted to hear. But, I mean, it's God used the witch, you know, in the spirit or Samuel, whichever, to tell him what he didn't want to hear. So why did God tell him, God used this situation to tell Saul what he didn't want to hear, you know, instead of telling him what he wanted to hear? So, I mean, if anyone can answer that, or if, I don't know, I guess that doesn't really sound like those verses in the Old Testament where God says, hey, I'll speak to your idols. I'll give you what you want to hear. In this case, he didn't give him what he wanted to hear. And it said he fell on in First Samuel, he fell on his face in fear. You know, it sounds like he was paralyzed by fear. Like, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. You know, so.
Amen. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I think I found it interesting here. If you look at 1 Samuel 15:35, It says, and Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death, for Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord grieved that he had made Saul king over Israel. Sounds to me like Samuel saw Saul just before his death.
Well, it could have been. Well, so I don't understand the inference, though.
I'm thinking that's the inference right there. I mean, Samuel died before Saul.
Okay, yeah. And?
Well, he died before Saul, but he didn't see Saul again until Saul's death.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
So actually, Samuel actually probably was the one that came up the spirit. But that should tell you also that Saul was pretty much out of the loop after this point. Now it's because he made that he sacrificed to the Lord when he wasn't supposed to. He took on a position of Samuel, sacrificing to the Lord for the troops, and he said, well, they forced me to do it. And he was lying then. I don't think Samuel had much of a spiritual discernment at all there. He was pretty, you know, he was out there. He was pretty much man of the flesh all the way through life.
So, you're talking about Saul.
Yeah, Saul. Yeah, Saul.
Yeah, you said Samuel.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Understood. Okay.
So we have here at the end, Saul switching to a median. We find that, why would he go to such desperate means? But at this point, I think he was looking for answers any way he can get them. Didn't really care how he got it. He really wasn't.
Bingo.
Wasn't really, had no concern about whether or not it was going to offend the Lord or not.
Well, I believe what you said before, that the Lord can give a message through anybody he wants to. And if he's going to give a message through a medium, you know, that's fine. That's the only way he wanted to give it to him. And whether it was Samuel or not, I don't think it makes a big hill of beans difference. He got the message to him, in my estimation. That he got that message to him. Now, we can talk about whether it was Samuel or not, but in Saul's head, he didn't make him any difference who it was. He thought it was Samuel. That's fine. But he got the message from the Lord. And once he got the message from the Lord, that's what the Lord wanted to have done. That's in my estimation. That's what I think. I believe he gave him the message. The Lord gave Saul the message that he wanted to have. And I don't know, you know, what's interesting to me is why Saul didn't turn around and try to repent, you know, and things like that. But you know why the Lord is. Could have taken it away from him. He had all chances to do that, you know.
Well, you had a lot of chances. He'd been turned over to a tormenting spirit.
Yeah.
So he might still be under that influence, too. You know how those spirits can make you go anywhere.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead, Andrew.
Now, I was just looking at chapter 27 and 1. And it's David's leaving to go and live with the living God. Because he determined something in his heart there. And I was just thinking that the Lord wanted to correct this thing that's in David's heart here. Because it looks like he's not going to live on the land of Israel anymore. And
where are you at, Andrew?
1 Samuel 27 and 1. It's the chapter before the one we're discussing.
Yeah.
And David is... he's got something in his heart that he's going to perish by the hand of Saul. And, of course, that didn't happen. And he wants to go live with a foreign king. God's intervening here. God's going to follow up on what he said he was going to do with Saul, remove him. Because David, I guess, thought in his heart that he was going to die if he stayed in anywhere around him. So escape to the enemy is what he thought. And so that I guess he had enough or something and God intervened. That's what I'm kind of thinking, that that's why Saul proceeded in doing the rest of this. In 28, and of course, I think in 29, I didn't really finish reading it all. It looks like the Philistines kicked him out and said, "You go back to where you came from." After this, what Saul did with this, soothsayer or whatever she was. Anyway, that's so I think it was choreographed this way by God to finish Saul off this way. Anyway, I didn't get much to read much of it. You know, I read what was listed, but I just started reading 27 and 1, and then it kind of seems to me that the Philistines dismissed David from their presence, and after Saul consults this medium, and so I think it's where the Lord choreographed Saul to do this as part of his fate. Anyway, but I just skimmed it basically, trying to listen at the same time what everyone else is saying. But when I did read it, I was going, is this actually Saul or not? Is when you come to that particular verse, and I was going, how could it be Saul? Is my sort of thought on it, or is it some sort of spirit to
you're talking about Samuel or Saul?
Samuel, yeah. Is it some sort of spirit that's getting Saul to do these things because he actually did go through with the consulting? You know, and you just don't do that. You know, you don't go for other spirits. There's only one spirit you want to discuss with. You know. It's a real scary situation for him, though, I would say, because he's showing the proper amount of fear, but God left him. I guess he was in a power struggle with David, you know, because there's the thousands that Saul. And the 10,000s that David slew. So, gives a good lesson on disobedience. Anyway.
Okay, go ahead, Greg.
Okay, I'm muted. Yeah, I was just noticing that Achish, the king of Gath, which, you know, as I put in the chat there, that's where Goliath was from. Interesting that David went there. He wasn't kicked out. He was given a town, the town of Ziklag, which he and all his men went to. I tend to think what was happening here, because, you know, Saul was up against the Philistines and God's gone, I'm not in this, which puts Saul in a very, very bad place. You know, when you compare it to the battle that he had when his son Jonathan and his armor bearer went against the garrison, and that fear of the Lord came over the Philistines after Jonathan and the armor bearer, with God, who Jonathan said, "Well, the Lord can save a many or a few." You know, they wiped out the Philistines then. But without that presence, which exists in so many of the battles where people call out to him, Saul's on his own. Now, this is what I think was happening with David, because David would not go against Saul. You know, he had the opportunity to kill him, you know, once or twice. And David, having been anointed as king as well, refused to, because he was actually Saul's armor bearer, not in the role at this point in time. But that was a, from what I've learned, that was a covenantal position. So he and while Saul used it for his own benefit, you know, David was, if nothing else, a man of covenant. So he was not going to come against Saul. So here's the thing: what I have noticed with David is, like, I don't know why anyone would come up against him, you know, like Absalom did, because David never lost. I mean, the Lord was with him everywhere else. So I think in this situation, he was put aside to Ziklag. In the story about Ziklag, which is an interesting look on its own, he was out on a raid and the Amalekites, I think it was, came and took away everything and everyone. And then there's an account of how he went after them, you know, first strengthening himself in the Lord, because his men were ready to stone him, but they'd had enough. But he was out of this, in that pursuit of the Amalekites, etc. He was out of the fray between the Philistines and Saul. So if he was with the Philistines and that presence of God was with him, then he would be a part of the end of Saul, which obviously God had planned for, like, that's it, Saul, the line was in the dirt. If he was with Saul, then that whole plan goes, you know, out the window. So I don't know that he was, you know, scripture doesn't seem to say he was kicked out, but he was, this guy, Gath Achish, you know, let me just get the word right. Yeah, Achish, has given him a tab, said, here, have a tab. So he was kind of like put aside, which I see as somewhat providential, but, you know, I'm prepared to be corrected on that as well. As far as the question of whether it was Samuel or not, as far as that spirit who appears, it's really just a vote thing, and I vote it was Samuel, but, you know, we're not really sure. However, this is what I'll bring into play. Often when we see in Scripture, we'll see this phrase, the angel of the Lord, and we're not sure whether it's Jesus pre-incarnate or an angel. But I've read of late that quite often it doesn't really matter, because, and I forget the word for it, but there's a word where, whether it is pre-incarnate Jesus or an angel who has been given all the authority of Jesus, so it's, you know, whether it's Jesus or not, it is, whether this particular spirit, if it wasn't Samuel, was told, you will be Samuel in this situation, kind of like an ambassador would represent a country, if you like. I don't know the answer. My leaning was it was Samuel, but if it wasn't, it presented entirely as Samuel. There was no deceit or whatever else, and followed on from what Samuel's had said to Saul earlier. Again, that's my two cents worth.
Well, it could be. You know, it doesn't really say. But yeah. I have a question for you. Who spoke through the jackass to Balaam? I'm just saying. Okay. I couldn't resist that, Greg. So I apologize.
Yeah, fair enough.
I believe it was too, but we don't know. It doesn't really say. It says that it was Samuel come staggering up to there. Want to know why they were waking him up. Go ahead, Dave.
I never had a problem with it being Samuel, just because when Moses and Elijah seen Jesus, everybody came from Sheol at that point. So did Samuel. It didn't seem like a big deal for God to do this or allow that to happen. You know? I mean, because these are men of God, so they're speaking for God and his will anyway still, and working, you know, with the Lord and his kingdom. But it's not like we see it as a rule. It's something that always happens. You know, that's not an everyday occurrence at all.
Yeah. It's not really a big deal, though, is it? It's not a big deal whether or not it was Samuel or a spirit or what. It was the Lord delivering a message I'm like, yeah, I believe it was probably Samuel, but it could have been a spirit too. I don't know. We could. It doesn't say. Okay, here we go, folks. Straight from Missouri, Lynn has got the floor.
Thanks, Michael. I guess I've always considered it not to be Samuel. And one of the things that my thought is like verse 19 there, where the Spirit says, moreover, the Lord will deliver Israel also with thee into the hand of the Philistine. And tomorrow, he says, shalt thou and thy son be with me. And I thought, well, clearly Samuel isn't in the same place as Saul. And the Spirit was saying, you're going to be there with me. I think that the devil had permission from God to take out Saul ahead of time. Just like in the book of Job, when Satan had permission to take out Job, to take out his family, he had that permission ahead of time. Now, Job didn't know, but in this case, Saul confronts basically a medium which belongs to the devil. It's not a godly spirit. And this spirit already knows everything about Saul. He knows what God had said to Saul in the past. He knows that God has already entrusted the kingdom to David. The devil knows that David's been anointed multiple times. So these are not truths that are not known to Satan. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
And so I think, in a way, the devil here is basically speaking the things that are already clearly known, that he already knows from God and from observing Saul and everything that God has done in Saul's life. And that's why there is no grace in what is spoken to Saul. It's total damnation. It's fear. It's terror. And I don't see that God deals that way with people. Now I see how God removes his grace and he shuts his face away from a person, and that person basically gets consumed by evil, and they don't even really realize a lot of times. Many of them do, but it's not that God comes to a person and says, you know what, from this moment on, don't even ever talk to me again. God just simply withdraws his grace, removes himself from a person's life, and Satan takes over. So it's, you know, that's why I always thought that, you know, really everything that is said by the Spirit isn't anything new that Saul hadn't heard before or hadn't seen. And it's nothing the devil didn't know either. He already had permission to take out Saul, because he can't take out Saul unless God tells him you can take out Saul. And he simply knew that he was going to take him out the next day in that battle. Anyway, that was just my train of thought, but I definitely don't want to put God in a box, because if there is a way for Samuel to come up, sure, I guess it just doesn't seem like he needed to, you know? It seems to me like the devil had all the tools and all the knowledge to say everything that he said without God's intervention.
Okay. Well, I accept that. Could be. That raises an interesting question. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I'm not going to labor the point whether it was Samuel or not, because, you know, as I said, it doesn't really matter, because he spoke as Samuel. But when you said, sorry, Leonard, wasn't it, that, you know, Saul and his, it says in Scripture, Saul and his sons, and it has plural, and I'm always trying to work out, and I still don't know why it says sons. I'm trying to work out from the Hebrew why they prefer sons, because it was he and Jonathan whose bodies were, as I recall, were retrieved And Jonathan, unlike his dad, was quite a credible man. You know, I don't know that he was going to be where the bad spirits were, if we're going to make that separation. Just making the observation there. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, Jonathan probably would have made a very, very good king, looking at his character. However, he also made a covenant with David, which allowed for legitimate transfer of that monarchy across to his line. But that's, again, that's another study.
Okay. Could be another route there. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Denny.
Yeah, I guess I had one question on when he like Leon had said that he would be with me, you know, him and his sons would be with me. But I was questioning did Samuel come up from? If he came up from Abraham's bosom, there would be two compartments in Abraham's bosom, one for the righteous and one for the wicked. You know, like with the case of Lazarus. They were in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man was in one department, and Lazarus was in the other side with the great gulf. It could have been Samuel if he was he brought up from Abraham's bosom, from the righteous side. Question.
What Leonard was saying was that because it did say that you would be with me, that he would be in hell with the devil, and he thought that might be a spirit, an evil spirit that was given the message that God told him to give, which could be, I don't know.
That's a question I had. It may not be hell, it may be Abraham's bosom, because there was two compartments, a righteous and a wicked. So he could have been in the same, or it could have meant you would be with me in death. You know, it doesn't really give a clear understanding of what, you know, you're going to be from the place I've come from, or are you just going to be with me in death? There's a question. Another one of those things it's hard to have an answer for.
Yeah.
But I thought if it was Abraham's bosom, then it could fit. It could have been Samuel, because he'd be coming up from the righteous side of the gulf.
Well, that leads to a question. If it was in Abraham's bosom, that mean that Saul would go to Abraham's bosom? Is that what you're saying?
Along with the rich man on that side of the gulf, and then waiting. I don't know. I don't know the theology of all that.
Yeah.
If there's actually a compartment there that people go to, and they're still waiting for that final judgment and being sentenced to go to hell. Or, I'm not sure. Well,
okay, go ahead, Leah.
That's called Sheol.
Yeah.
That's where they would go, and that was had two compartments. Sheol comprised of Hades or hell and Abraham's bosom. So that could have been Saul saying that, as I was looking at that same thing. That could have been Samuel saying that, because he would have went. Samuel was in Abraham's bosom, undoubtedly, but Saul would have went to Hades, because the Lord gave up on him, so he would have went to Hades, not to Abraham's bosom. So, but they would have been in the same location, Sheol.
Well, that's why I say, he said with me, right?
Well, he'll be down there with him in the same location.
Okay.
He won't be in Abraham's bosom, though.
No.
He was in Sheol. That's the thing he's saying. I mean, without saying it, but okay. You'll be in the grave. You'll be in Sheol.
You'll be dead. Yeah, Missy. Oh, Joe. Let me get Joe. He had his hand up.
No, I was just going to say, you answered it, Leon, there. That's Sheol is the area, from what I understand. I don't quite remember everything there in the Old Testament. But I wanted to post a video. I'll post it for those interested in the chat. I was, you know, sometimes I like to stumble upon stuff on YouTube of different interpretations, I guess you could say, of some of those stories. And then Lazarus and the Rich Man, the story. And it talks about Abraham's bosom and Sheol. And it's very interesting. I'll post that, you know, some, maybe that is what it looked like. You know, it shows Abraham and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and they're looking over to the rich man who's suffering. And like you said, there's a big gulf there, Denny. You know, they could see this rich man suffering, but, you know, he's saying, you know, help me, save me from this torment. But yeah, I'll post that video. I thought that was interesting, you know. And so, I mean, since we're on that one, you know, and, you know, people can watch it, you know, if they want to. So,
okay. All right, Missy.
Well, after Leon had pointed out, you know, where it says, and thy sons be with me, you know, it's like, I think probably most of us when we read that think, you know, oh, he's dead, you know. But I think Leon had made a very good point with that, and thy sons be with me. And I, you know, after him sharing all that, I have a tendency to believe now that it was a spirit that wasn't actually Samuel.
Okay. Can we have a show of hands now? Let's see. it, like I said before, it really doesn't make any difference because he's not here. David was king. He was anointed king. Here we go. But it's interesting to speculate as to if it was Samuel or not. And I tend to believe after Lynn and myself, after Lynn had brought that out, and I understand about Sheol being two different areas. But he said, with me, and if it had been Samuel, he would have been in Abraham's bosom. I'm just talking about Michael now. I ain't saying this is gospel. And when he said with me, that tends me to believe that he was probably a spirit, evil spirit. So I don't know. You know, it really doesn't make any difference. He got the message across. And we know that Saul didn't go down to where Samuel actually spiritually. How would you say that? Well, anyway, all right, let's see here. Oh, Joe posted that thing there. Yeah, go ahead, Denny.
I was wondering, did Tim,
you muted yourself,
did Tim have any more questions?
Yeah, there's one more thing that I was kind of wanting to know what your input was, and that in First Chronicles, I guess it's in 10 and 13 and 14, it said that Saul died for not, you know, obeying, for disobedience, for not destroying Amalek completely, and for asking for a familiar spirit instead of seeking God. And he had tried to seek the Lord for the answer about the battle with the Philistines prior to going to the familiar spirit. It doesn't say how long he seeked the Lord on it, but it said, you know, he tried the different methods that he knew, and there was no answer from the God. That had been prophesied already by Samuel, but it said that he died for not seeking him, and in the book it said that he did seek him. So if you guys have any input on that, that would answer the rest of my questions.
Okay, that's a good question. I'm going to read 10, 13, and 14. So Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord, which he kept not, first sin. Also for that he asked counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire thereby, another one, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore, he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. So, he did seek the Lord, it said, back over in 1 Samuel. But why would 1 Chronicles say that he didn't? Anybody got an answer to that? Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
I don't know about an answer, but a thought anyway. I think we're assuming that his not inquiring of the Lord is a sequential thing with his, you know, because he certainly didn't inquire of the Lord, you know, after consulting the medium. I think his problem was he didn't consult the Lord when he was waiting for Samuel to come and do the sacrifice, and decided to do it himself, because it was after there that, you know, God said, "Line in the dirt." You know, the kingdom is being torn from you through Samuel. So thereafter, he's like, "Oh Lord, please, it's too late." That's, as I said, a thought. But
amen. We're about out of time here. Go ahead, Leon. We'll let you get through.
I was just going to point out that in an earlier event, Saul didn't wait on Samuel to get there. Like Samuel said, "I'll be there at 2 o'clock. And he came at 2:15, and Saul didn't wait on him and was going to sacrifice the bull in Samuel's place. And Samuel got on him about that. So apparently he was, he didn't like to wait on things. You know, he didn't seek the Lord enough. You know, and a lot of times in our lives, we want the answer right away, and the Lord doesn't answer us right away. So we have to wait. We have to endure in our faith to get the answer. And that's the same thing that he didn't do. He wouldn't endure earlier. He wouldn't endure that time either.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking too. He had that McDonald Christianity, didn't he? Would drive up to the drive-out window and get his hamburger and go on, you know. But I think that's probably why the Lord said that he didn't wait on him. He didn't seek him. Okay, well, we're out of time. We can continue this on if there's anything else, or somebody can got something else they'd like to ask for. What is today? Is this Thursday? This is Thursday, isn't it? Okay.
Depends where you are.
Sir?
It depends where you are.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. You're right. could be Friday in some places, couldn't it? All right. Yeah, Denny?
Yeah, I was gonna maybe ask Greg if sometime when you're on, if you could share what's going on in Australia so we know how to pray, you know, your, as far as deep state and your government and all that kind of stuff. If your experience is the same kind of stuff we are here, but there's no time today, but maybe at another time.
Yeah, that'd be good. It'd be awesome.
Michael.
Well, okay. Malcolm, who?
Yeah, Malcolm X. I was just going to say that, I was just going to say the recording from Tuesday night's fellowship was, I think, 35 minutes in length. And you're right in the middle of telling about some stuff in your early years, some guy that you were working with, and all of a sudden it cut off, and I was so disappointed.
Well,
I missed out on the rest of the...
Greg, I mean, Malcolm, that was brought up to me that next morning, and I contacted Casey, and I think he fixed it. But you might check it again.
Absolutely. Good deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I sent the whole 2 hours up there on the server. So it's some kind of, he had some kind of malfunction that did that.
Sure.
I think he fixed it.
That way you don't have to repeat it for me privately.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I couldn't anyway, so.
Thank you.
That was, yeah. All right. Anybody got anything we need to pray about before we leave out? Okay, well, Father, we just ask and we pray. I thank you for leading us tonight, Lord. This has been an interesting night. It's interesting to speculate as to what hitting this happened and that happened and all that kind of stuff. But we know in the end that it happened, and it was a lesson for us. And Father, we just thank you for it. The lesson was being that when you mess up, repent and get back on the road real quick, and to seek you until you get that release. And Father, we praise you and thank you that you're going to protect everybody over the weekend. And we thank you, Lord, that next Tuesday night when we come together, that it's going to be another awesome time that you're going to lead us through, Lord, in Jesus' name. Protect us, provide for us, give us a good night's sleep tonight. And Lord, we thank you for cooling it off down there where Greg is and warming it up here where we are. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. Hey, Dave, you're doing Saturday, aren't you?